As I'm growing relatively older, I've noticed a pattern start emerging in my spiritual life, that as I come to greater understanding of Scripture, greater understanding of God, and probably most poignantly, greater understanding of you, I see that God is, by his nature, working with sacraments. And what I mean by that is this, the definition of sacrament that St. Augustine uses, and I've shared with you before, a visible reminder of an invisible reality. You see, this God who is invisible to us, he wants to make himself known to us who are flesh, who have eyes and ears and smell things. And so he uses that same mode to communicate to us. And he does so in our gospel today by using three images that we can readily understand. You can easily picture salt in your mind. You can easily picture light. And you can imagine a city set on a hill. Now, in the time of Jesus, salt was used for many purposes, but two primary positive purposes. And one was, just like today, to add flavor to our food. And just as we add flavor to our food with salt, he's telling us that we're supposed to be salt to the earth. That is, we are supposed to add some type of flavor to the earth. Now, we're not talking about bears eating us, right? I saw the other day a comic, and it had two bears looking at the bumper sticker of a SUV, and it had the little family on it. And they said, one said, "Oh, look, a menu." But you know what? When I was praying with this earlier, what did occur to me is how much I enjoy you, your personalities. The things that are unique about you, your histories, your humor, all those gifts that make up you and make you unique, you bring those into whatever activities you do in the parish. And things that you might be like really good at, like some of you are like super good at cleaning and you just love it because you're strange, you know? Some of you are really good at commanding people and you bring spice. You bring levity, you bring something great into what otherwise might be a humdrum experience. So thank you for that. Secondly, salt was also used to preserve. Now keep in mind, they didn't have refrigerators back then, so they would actually salt their meat as a way of preserving it over time. So too, we are called to preserve our faith and not let it decay over time. Because if you set that piece of meat out and you don't have a refrigerator, what's going to happen to it? It's going to go bad. And brothers and sisters, the same is true of our faith. If our faith is just set out there and left alone, it's going to go bad. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. It doesn't get better on its own. It doesn't self-refrigerate. It doesn't self-preserve. It needs to be nourished, taken care of, and preserved. And so what are you doing to preserve your faith? The second image that Jesus uses is that of light. And it too has a twofold positive purpose. Now, if you've ever been to a museum, or even here in church, or a car show, or something where they want to show something off, they always show an intensity of light on something, right? If you go to a museum, it's usually dim, but then they have maybe a few spotlights on the famous painting. Or in here, like we put these giant white hot lights right above the altar, right? Because that's the focal point. Or we put lights above the tabernacle. Well, one of them anyway, to highlight the tabernacle, right? You go to a car show and say they're running vehicles across the front to bid on. Well, they put them under the lights. Why? So that you can see what is beautiful. So that you can see what is beautiful. I remember one time I was in Rome with my aunt, and I wanted to go to this church where St. Lawrence, who was one of the first seven deacons of the church, was buried. And it was at a church called St. Lawrence Outside the Walls. And so it was off the beaten path. It wasn't where most of the big touristy churches were in Rome. My aunt to this day calls it the scary church. And we went there. Just so happens they were having a local mass that night in Italian. We got to attend. But afterwards, it was pitch black out. And it was only like 7, but it was in the winter. And I was supposed to be ordained a deacon that year. And so I really wanted to visit the tomb of St. Lawrence. You guys know St. Lawrence, right? He's the patron saint of comedians. He was barbecued to death, and as he was burning on a rack, he said, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side." True story. And I got to kneel there before his grate that he was barbecued on and at his tomb. But before I could go down there, you actually had to turn on the lights. I mean, it was pitch black. And my aunt wouldn't even go down there at all. You see, without light, things can be scary because it's unknown. And brothers and sisters, each of us is called to shed light on the gospel by our good works, certainly, but to bring about an awareness of beauty in the world. Now, this could be as simple as proclaiming the gospel and the truth to somebody, or as everyday as pointing out something nice to somebody, like, you know, your hair looks nice today. It's bringing beauty to the world, shedding light on the beauty that's already in the world and the beauty that is to come in the world that we await. But light does something else as well. Light sheds awareness on things that aren't good for us as well. I remember reading the book The Hobbit, and there's this scene where they're going into a forest, and for some reason, I've never seen the movie, still to this day, but in my mind, I had this scene where there's this forest and there's these two paths, and it's pitch black in this forest, and they didn't have any light. And if they'd had a light, what could they have done? Well, they could have said, okay, shine the light down this path, let's see what's down there, and shine the light down this path and see what's down there, and make a good choice, right? But they didn't have that. So they had to guess, totally groping in the dark. You see, light allows us to also avoid evil. Now see, in our world, they don't like light to be shown on what is evil, do they? You show light on the truth and the evil of something, and boy, you start getting a lot of pushback. We've seen that a lot, even lately in the media. That when the truth becomes exposed and it's not good, a lot of times violence comes back. Brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean that we should be afraid to preach the truth. In fact, you know you're doing something right when you get a reaction sometimes. Not that you do things to get a reaction. That's not the way of being a Christian. But if you're preaching the truth in love, and you're getting a reaction, it's probably because the light has been turned on something that didn't want to be exposed. Lastly, the city on a hill. You know, I remember the first time I went to New York City, I was in seminary, and four of us seminarians had decided to go to work with the missionaries of charity in the Bronx in New York City, and we stayed at a men's shelter there and served the men, the homeless men, for a week. But what was really funny was the day we arrived, we got there at like 3 in the afternoon, and right away, before we even got our bags out of the car, these Indian sisters come over who, you know, their English is kind of broken, and they say, "We need you to deliver chickens to our other houses in New York." And we're like, "Chickens?" And they're like, "Yeah." And they showed us in the back of this big 15-passenger van with no seats in it were a bunch of raw chickens that had been donated to them. None of us had been to New York City before. So these Indian sisters are trying to give us directions around New York City, never been there before, and we got rotting chickens in the back of the van, and we have to sit with them, literally. And so we're driving around New York, and basically the instructions were go towards the tall buildings. You know, or go towards this building, you know, and you used them as landmarks, right? Just like we used to use the Twin Towers and now this Freedom Tower is a landmark for New York City. Or say you're driving into the city, you know, and you're like, "Well, I want to go downtown. I want to go to downtown Wichita. What do I look for?" Well, I look for the tallest spot, right? Well, the same was true in the time of Jesus. And they did, remember, they didn't have GPS or maps or anything, so they would look for cities that were set up on plateaus. Often, given the history of the world, cities had actually been built upon cities, and so they were raised up, just as Jerusalem is today. So this is the image that Jesus is using when he says that you should be a city set on a hill. The just as people searching for their way, searching for a direction, we should be a navigating point for others. The people can look to us to either be a sign or be part of the destination. Now, this is the problem. The popular notion in our time is that I'm not going to set myself up an example because I'm a hypocrite, or I'm not worthy of being set up as an example. I shouldn't be a quote-unquote city on a hill. Doesn't matter. That's not your choice. That's God's choice. And he said you are a city on a hill. You are a signpost to people. You do stick up as that tallest building that gives navigation to the people around you, whether you want to or not. And so you can either make it a good thing or a bad thing, but you can't avoid it. That's not an option. To hold up the truth to others and to point the way to Christ, no matter how messed up you are, is your call. This week, how can you be salt to the world around you? Who is in need of your, shall we say, flavor? The unique gifts that God has given you. You may think no one, but he sure has somebody in mind. And he's given you a specific gift to be able to give to a certain person this coming week. And look for that opportunity this week to preserve your faith. How can you be a light this week? Who will you bring out the beauty in? Your spouse? Your coworker? A friend? And lastly, will you choose to be a city set on a hill? Not because you deserve it, not because you're perfect, but simply because Jesus has made you to be.